as we hop on board the telephone line and welcome into the program our friend Gary Tangway of NBC Sports Boston. Gary, how are you?
Richie, what a lineup. I mean, that is a fantastic lineup. I just love the gentleman that says, he'll talk beer. He'll talk beer. That's fantastic.
Well, it starts starts with you right out of the gate. Everything else after this, frankly, a bit of a letdown.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, right. Chris Matthews, I don't think anybody's going to be at his level on this show.
What's going on? You're right there in the epicenter of the sports universe these days.
It's awesome, isn't it? I mean, my God, it just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling. And one of these days, I keep thinking that the pumpkin is going to just pop, or the carriage is going to turn back into the pumpkin, because Brady just keeps playing. The Red Sox keep winning. The Celtics have been a bit of a disappointment, and quite frankly, that Orlando game I found very frustrating, but they'll get it right. You know, Gordon Hayward and Kyrie are not healthy. They're not 100%, I should say. But, you know, David Price was phenomenal. And the thing I love about the Red Sox is they're so damn likable. And in a time where there's a lot of hate going around, and it's in my business and media and criticism and, you know, hate radio and pot, it's just, you know, they're just likable. You know, you root for them. I mean, you really, really do. And you love the manager, and they're great guys. And, I mean, even Joe Kelly. I mean, my God, Joe Kelly looks like Goose Gossage.
And Nathan Eovaldi. You know, everybody said, why didn't they get a bullpen guy at the trade deadline? Eovaldi, Steve Pearce, Ian Kinsler. Well, they've all been good, but Eovaldi is lights out.
Well, Dombrowski gave him credit. He said, this is the guy we wanted. And then it had been reported there was one other reliever that they targeted. They couldn't get him. And Eovaldi was the guy they said, we have to get. And Dombrowski, you can't argue with him. Look at the results. He's done it as a starter. He's done it out of the pen. I would have started Eovaldi last night and not Price, because I would have sent him to L.A. where it's warmer and out in front of the hometown crowd. But what do I know? But I agree with Eovaldi. I think Eovaldi is like I think he's the key, because when they when he won in New York at Yankee Stadium, that set things in motion. That's when I said, you know, this team, something's going right. You know
well, yeah.
what I mean? You got all the fantasy geeks, you got all the stat guys, you got all the guys with the wars and the this and the that. And I go, yeah, you could take all those bullpen numbers and stick them wherever, but there's something about this team that's magical.
Do you think that Eovaldi is auditioning for the closer role? Because it's going to cost an arm and a leg to sign Kimbrel after this year.
Yeah, I would do that. I would make him the closer. He throws hard. I agree. I mean, do I think he's auditioning? I don't think he's like auditioning, but it has to be on Dombrowski's mind. You know, I think the kid just wants to go out there and throw hard. And, you know, he had surgeries. He had some surgeries earlier in his career. I think he had one in high school. So now, and after being at Tampa for a bit, he's getting out there to show his stuff. I just don't trust Kimbrel. You know, I mean, Shaughnessy was great the other day. Shaughnessy goes, how can he be tipping pitches? All the pitchers suck. He's like, you know, he goes, they talk about tipping pitches. He goes, he's throwing it in the dirt. What's he giving away? Don't swing at this one, guys. This one's going to be really bad. So I just think Kimbrel is, after this year, if they can escape without him, I would make Eovaldi the closer. That's a great point, Rich. I hadn't thought of it, but I think you're right on.
You talk about Alex Cora and the moves he has made. Everything has gone right, whether it's putting Eovaldi in when he did in the Yankees series, whether it's using these starters in bullpen roles. Right. He puts in Sandy Leon to start, and he gets two hits for the first time in, I don't know, a year or so. He calls for a pinch hitter. Let's go with Nunez. And he cranks one out of the park. Sometimes it's good to have, I guess, a little luck, but also the right feel for situations.
I think you nailed it. And I think if you look at Alex as a player, you know, he was a role player. He started some, but he was a very smart player. You know, he was brought in with the Red Sox to back up the rookie in Pedroia, and he really mentored Dustin in that year, helped him out when he was in a slump. And he just has a way about keeping the room loose. You know, he's a player, but he's also the boss, and it's a fine line to walk. And from what I've been told is that he'll go to a player, because, and this is something that football players always told me about themselves, now, players aren't stupid. You know, no matter what people think about, like, the dumb jock scenario, they're not dumb. So they know when a manager or a coach is filling them or lying to them. So Cora just goes, all right, look, Nunez, well, I'm going to start Devers, but I need a right-handed bat off the bench. I'm going to need you late in the game. Be ready. I'm doing it because of this, because of this, because of this. And he gives him his reasons. And the player goes, I wish I was starting, but I can't argue with that, right? And he follows through on his commitment. You know, he sticks with the guy. He put him in. And I think that's why he had Kimbrel close the clincher, you know, the other night. You know, I mean, it was the Price game, right? Because Price picked and Eovaldi came in. That was a Houston game. And I thought that Price should have come out for one more inning. Eovaldi pitches the rest of the game. But I think Cora said, I have to go with my guy. Because if I don't go with him here, his confidence is going to be shot for the rest of the way. And sure enough, when he brings Kimbrel in, I'm like, oh, this is his first mistake of the series. The guy pitched better that night than he did the prior night when he threw, you know, he had to get six outs. So the players are sold on Cora, and it's huge.
We're talking to Gary Tanguay, NBC Sports Boston. Let's touch on the Patriots a little bit. They keep finding ways to win, even coming within a yard of losing, but still getting those W's. Brady defying time constantly. But, yeah, there's some legitimate concerns about this defense.
Well, there's a lot of concerns, Rich. I mean, the defense is just not good. And if, you know, I said Tom Brady's not going to be the MVP of the league, but this is, I think this is perhaps the year he's been most valuable to his team. Because despite the turnovers, which have not all haven't been his fault, but, you know, despite his interceptions and despite at times where the offense has had their moments, well, if he's not playing on this team, they're screwed because they're giving up a bunch of points to everybody, except for the Dolphins. You know, I mean, Kansas City, I still worry about Kansas City in the postseason. Mahomes was nervous in the first half. I've argued with Fred Smirlis. I've said, Fred, I don't think it was the defense. I don't think the defense was in Mahomes' head. I think Mahomes was in Mahomes' head. And then that second half, he clicked in. So I don't see it getting better. I don't think it's one player away. I think that Brady's going to have to bail him out the rest of the year.
And they're good enough to win the division, certainly, but do they need some help to be able to make any kind of a deep playoff run?
I think they do. I mean, do you think that this team can go to Kansas City and win in the playoffs? Because I don't.
Not unless there's some improvement, especially on that defensive side.
Well, that's what I mean, the defense. You know, when you're playing in Kansas City, you know, Brady's going to get his, but then Mahomes is going to be home, going to be comfortable, and I just think that the pass defense, you know, I mean, but of course the last game against the Bears, you know, it all comes down to making a play. Somebody's got to make a play. Hightower gets one, you know, blocks upon on special teams. And, you know, so I just don't see it happening with this defense. I think it's going to catch up with them, Rich. I really do. And yeah, they'll beat the East, and they'll beat most of the teams, but you know, when it comes down to getting a stop in the postseason when they need it, I just don't see it happening.
Gary, as far as Boston goes right now, I mean, the Patriots have sort of ruled the roost the last few years there, and you check the sports meter in Boston. How would you rank the top four right now? Is this World Series run, at least temporarily, move the Red Sox into first place?
Yeah, I think because it's new and it's fresh and everybody loves the team. I mean, the team, they have great personalities. You know, how can you not like, you know, Mookie Betts is so popular. I think that Price obviously has redeemed himself. I think the manager is extremely likable. So, for the time being, but I do think that there's still a generational issue with baseball. I still think, you know, younger people like football better. You know, so I think it does take a World Series to put the Red Sox back on top, you know. But the Patriots are still the king because of Brady and because of Belichick. And obviously the Celtics are making a run with Kyrie. But when you always look at the ratings, you know, when you look at the ratings locally, and football is always a different animal because it's once a week and it's appointment viewing. You know, the Patriots get killer numbers. The Red Sox get really good numbers. The Celtics, they do well, but basketball just isn't as... They'll do very well, but it's not baseball and it's not football. You know, I don't know why. It's still a very niche thing, I guess.
It's homecoming weekend here at the University of Maine. Will there be a Gary Tanguay sighting on campus in Orono?
Not ever since my Delta Upsilon fraternity burned to the ground, damn it.
The only thing shocking about that is it didn't happen when you were there.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, no, I haven't. You know, it'd be great to go back. And, you know, it's one of those things when you're, when you get out of college, you know, you go back, and then, you know, other things get in the way, you know, like responsibility, and just can't swing it this weekend.
Yeah, but you were up there last year with your kids, right?
Yeah, we went up to Bar Harbor, and which I still love. I mean, I was disappointed that the basement of Jetty's is no longer a bar. It's like a t-shirt shop, but any progress. Because we had some great times on there. That has to be my favorite town. Bar, it was when I was in college, and it still is today. And, and then, you know, we were leaving, and, you know, my son was like, you know, hey, where did we go to school? And I said, well, let's take a swing by. And we just took a swing by to UMO and bought some t-shirts and, you know, the whole bit, and stopped at where DU is and bowed at the blank, or just the bed, right, the empty lot, you know, and just moved on. So, you know, it was great. It's great for the kids to see.
Hey, who's on tonight with you on Early Edition?
Well, we got a short show because Train, you know, half hour tonight because the Celts, they have Orlando tonight, so our coverage begins at 7. Trenning and Drellick and Lou are en route to Los Angeles. So it's going to be myself and Rich Keefe and Sherrod, and we'll do some hoop. We'll also get into the Patriots as Gronk was back on the field. So it's going to be interesting to see now because Gronk's incentives are kicking in. And plus, he always likes to play against Buffalo. He loves to crush Buffalo. So I think it's like Monday night.
Excellent. We'll be watching tonight, NBC Sports Boston. Hey, Gary, thanks as always, my friend. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Rich. Take care.